Your Mind. Welcome once again to another edition of the program we call What's on Your Mind because we want to know. Hey, folks, I'm Scott Hennon along with Todd the Radio God Mitchell.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Mitchell. How are you today?
I'm fine, and especially after this email here. I travel a lot through the Dakotas and really enjoy this radio show. What's on Your Mind is very informative, and you give callers from all sides of a topic a chance. Great job. So thanks, Larry, for that email just a few minutes ago.
Well, how about that? Thank you, Larry. Well, especially like folks that can benchmark us through their travel with other talk shows around the country, right?
Exactly.
They're putting us on the top of the list. That's so kind. Thank you very much. 800-228-0550 is our toll-free telephone number, 701-258-0550. We have former U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., John Bolton, that will join us a little later on, actually a little earlier than we usually have guests, so that's why we'd like to get right to your calls, questions, and or comments today to tell us what's on your mind in this first segment, because he'll join us in the next segment, and then, of course, we'll have from 9:30 to 10 to find out what's on your mind. We're also going to chat with Congressman Kevin Cramer today on the Talk Radio Town Hall. I want to try and find Dave Glide at the State Health Department, too. There's a story in the Bismarck Tribune today. We talked a little bit about this on Monday as well. Here's the headline. And this, quite honestly, is exactly what I was talking about to Clay Jenkinson yesterday when I said, I believe the majority of the media tends to perpetuate negative stories that outweigh, you know, in other words, there are negative and there are positive stories in the oil patch, and then there's just news, right? What I would like from news organizations is news, okay?
Sounds reasonable.
And but very often what you get is you get very little of the middle part, just here's what's happening.
Right.
You get a little, even tinier bit of anything that's positive, and you get a lot of negative. Okay.
Sure.
Now,
by the way, I had to leave the show. Did he ever punch you in the snout?
He didn't.
Okay.
I did find it a little odd, though, that
you guys were sitting like several feet apart, so I don't know how that would have been possible.
We wanted to have a civil conversation, and then he starts by suggesting that I needed a pop in the snout. So I didn't know how those connected. Didn't think that was very civil.
Well, now, if he just said a punch in the nose, you might have taken it with a little bit more offense. But the fact that he said a punch in the snout. How can you not giggle just a little bit?
Well, I did giggle, yeah, especially because there was a Teddy Roosevelt reference here. I actually quite enjoyed the conversation, and I'm not sure Clay was prepared for me to say yes to his challenge to a debate, but I was happy to do it and look forward to it and want to start. He wants us to find a sponsor. I said, well, let's just do it. We don't need fancy food and black tie events. We just need, we can go to places, a couple microphones, and we're good to go.
My wedding's not going to be a black tie event. We're not going to make What's in Your Mind a black tie event.
Exactly right. So anyway, and by the way, a lot of great compliments on that conversation yesterday. As to the term that I heard most from folks was good radio.
Yeah, and it absolutely was.
As a radio person, you love to hear that's a compliment for us when you say that was good radio. Mm-hmm. And I heard that a lot. So.
I did hear that a lot, too, and from a lot of friends who are on not exactly your side of the aisle, but they're very complimentary of you and Clay and thought together. And I thought, you know what, they're both very civil people. When you get onto a forum like this, they're going to be good. So we do need to have him on more.
Exactly. So we'll have him on more, and we look forward to that five-city debate. I don't know what he has in mind, but I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, so one of the criticisms I had of the media was just, sort of the sky is falling mentality. And today's example in the front page of the Bismarck Tribune is an example of that. Here's the headline, radioactive dump site found. Now, what do you think when you hear that?
K-Fire comes in really well.
Radioactive dump site found. Hundreds of bags of filter socks discovered in abandoned gas station. Now, these filter socks are a byproduct of what is needed from a saltwater disposal. They're part of the fracking process. Right. So when you have saltwater is a product of oil drilling. Okay, mm-hmm. And you have to dispose of it. Right. And part of that is from these filter socks. Now there was a discovery that was in the news not long ago that was in some open trailers. That near Watford City, remember that about 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And so this is another example of that. This happens to be in, where is this exactly? Divide County, Noonan. And it was a vacant building, and they said it was filled with toxic waste. Now, again, as Ron Ness, I think, pointed out very clearly on the program on Friday, this is something that we need to deal with, and there are more and more of these, so we need to do it. There's always going to be bad actors that are not going to deal with them accordingly, but we certainly need a proper procedure to handle these. In Ron's case, he said this is really something that the state health department needs to do more of and make sure there are places for this and this is monitored. But here's my beef, if you will. Radioactive, to me, means Chernobyl, right? I mean, what do you think of when you? I think of nuclear power plants gone bad, right?
Like that, yeah.
And again, it's not. This I don't think is what most people would believe to be radioactive. So that's where we need to be a little careful with. I would say, look, we found some filter socks that were disposed of improperly. We need to clean them up. But as far as any hazard to anybody, I'm not seeing things here that. That are real threats to folks in Noonan or real threats to folks in Watford City. I'm seeing a problem that needs to be dealt with because there's going to be bad actors in any particular situation. This is obviously not widespread. It's not a huge issue, and it's not a major threat to individual health.
I see a line of Dr. Scholl's products, actually, for people with the foot odor issues.
Yeah, very, very.
The filter socks.
There. That'd probably be more radioactive, right? Just from the smell of it, from crying out loud.
Individual results may vary.
Anyway, so that's one of the things on my mind today. But I'm more interested in finding out what's on your mind today, which is why we asked the question. And the telephone number, if it's in your speed dial, boy, you really love us then. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. And Pius in Napoleon wants to weigh in on what happened in Watford City last night. How about that? An overwhelming vote of the citizens of Watford City for the new school there. That was heartwarming, if you ask me. That says folks want a good school in Watford City. Makes sense. Pius, what's on your mind today?
Yes, it is a Watford City school that's on my mind. I don't believe the taxpayers from Watford City or the oil boom communities should have to pay for their infrastructure and schools. The state has bragged over the years how much money they have in the trust fund, and that money is coming from the oil fields, and they need to be putting the money back into those communities 100% because that's where those dollars came from, and those people don't need to be burdened with their taxes to pay for something like this. Thank you.
All right, Pius. First of all, I would say to you that the oil companies are paying. Right? I mean, if you look at the amount of dollars,
I'm saying the state is supposed to take their share. The oil companies are paying their share. We agree. But The state is not supposed to wave a big red flag and get attention for their big surplus of money and not invest it in the communities. And then another thing I have on my mind is Dalrymple said the state pays with the schools per pupil. Well, these smaller schools, they need to be paying per teacher, too. I mean, a good percentage of these teachers' salaries to a small community of 300 people can't compete with a larger city with pupils. But yet, we have to develop those opportunities for all those children, too, and let's not brag about how much we're putting into the trust fund. Let's invest it wisely into our people now, not for a rainy day fund. Let me
go back to your first point, if I could, Pius. I want to understand your point here. You're saying that the state should fund the school 100%?
For the new building and everything and the city developments, those cities can't afford it with their local tax. They need to go out 50 years to...
All right, I got your answer there. And then the next question is, are you talking everywhere or just in oil-impacted counties?
Well, I would say everywhere because, you know, some of these students drive maybe 50 miles or more to school on a bus, and they're still a small school is what I'm stating. So,
Scott, remember Mayor Sanford's point about the amount of money coming out of Watford City versus going into, there is a huge disparity there, so there's a point there.
He makes his point that $1.2 billion comes out of McKenzie County, right. McKenzie County, and they only get $80 million back.
Right, right.
Now, that's, you know, not doesn't count infrastructure money and other things, so there's things that are not in that $80 million.
Sure.
In this case, I think it's kind of a fair balance because you have a $47 million school, and the taxpayers last night were asked to fund $27 million of the $47 million. So that's how much the local taxpayers will pay. So it seems like to me a fair balance. I've heard others say the school trust fund dollars that are there ought to be building these schools. That case was made up there in Minot. I guess the majority of folks in Watford City don't necessarily agree with Pius because a 90% vote says we want a school and we're willing to pay for it, which I think is pretty extraordinary. And again, getting a pretty good bang for the buck there. $27 million is what is actually being bonded there. The rest being paid with different taxes, which again are oil companies and others. Thanks for the call, Pius. Appreciate the call. More coming up.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Find the easy links at whatsonyourmindradio.com.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Biedelsbacher.
Did you know there are as many as 143 different species of weeds that stubbornly refuse to succumb to herbicides growing in the United States? The North Dakota Soybean Council considers herbicide-resistant weeds a major problem that requires immediate attention. Soybean producers can no longer rely on one input or one mode of action to effectively treat these weeds. It is important to arm yourself with more weapons to apply against weeds, such as crop rotation, residual herbicides, and multiple herbicide modes of action. These tools can help you manage herbicide-resistant weeds growing in fields already and prevent the development of new herbicide-resistant species. We also encourage you to develop more diverse weed management plans to keep these weeds from spreading further. For more information to prevent herbicide-resistant weeds from spreading, log on to ndsoybean.org.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try. KeepItLocal.com,
the Northland's most respected auto shopping website for over 10 years. Whether you're looking to buy or sell a car, truck, SUV, or boat, KeepItLocal.com keeps it simple. With hundreds of dealers and private sellers, our inventory changes daily. We are the source for finding your next auto or power sport item. Remember, KeepItLocal.com. We keep it simple.
Before you buy, give it a hometown try.
If it's time for a hurricane force truck wash, but you hate wasting the time, then the North Dakota Truck Wash is for you. The North Dakota Truck Wash in Stanley wants you to know there's no waiting time between 6 and 10, a.m. or p.m. If those times work for you, you'll enjoy no wait times and a free engine wash at North Dakota's best truck wash, the Bakken's best, Hurricane Force, the North Dakota Truck Wash in Stanley. Again, no waiting time between 6 and 10 a.m. or 6 and 10 p.m. at the North Dakota Truck Wash, Stanley.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Todd Mitchell, I'm Scott Hillen. Telephone numbers are 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Our go-to guy on foreign policy situations is John Bolton, the former United States Ambassador to the United Nations, who joins us now to talk a little bit about the situation in Ukraine. Ambassador Bolton, nice to have you back.
Well, good morning. Thanks very much for having me.
We're sitting here in the middle of North Dakota. which is unlike most of the other 49 states, roaring, and doing great. Lowest unemployment, fastest job growth, largely as a result of energy production combined with some staples that have been there for a lot of years, like agriculture. I wonder if, this North Dakota boom continues, and quite honestly, the shale plays across the country continue, and oil and gas production in the United States becomes so prevalent that it can be exported, that what Vladimir Putin is pulling in Ukraine right now might be a lot less likely in our future. Is there a connection there?
Well, you're exactly right, and I think this is the perfect example of the intersection between domestic policy and foreign policy. Not only would we benefit enormously at home in terms of lower energy prices, greater economic growth from exploiting the shale oil and shale gas we have, from building the Keystone XL pipeline, from any number of things that we should be doing, but it would have an enormous international geopolitical effect as well. The fact is, the Europeans, who must have been asleep when they did it, find themselves really dependent on Russia for their oil and natural gas supplies, pipelines, and other methods of distribution. I can't tell you the number of Europeans who have said to me, you know, if America would only get back to the point where it was a major exporter of oil and gas again, we would be delighted to buy, because the competition would force down the Russian prices and we'd have an alternative. We wouldn't be dependent on Russia, and therefore Russia's power, it really is a one-pony economy these days, would be significantly reduced in Europe and throughout the former Soviet Union. So it seems to me that if the administration would give up the war on carbon, it would be a win-win-win all around for America domestically and internationally.
Give us a snapshot of where you see this crisis right now between Russia and Ukraine on the 12th of March.
Well, I think Putin is still playing for the whole thing. I think what he wants is a government in Ukraine that's essentially subservient to Moscow. Not that he wants to recreate the Soviet Union, but he does want to establish Russian sway over all the parts of the former Soviet Union. And Ukraine is the big prize. It's a big country, almost 50 million people. Back in the day, it was the breadbasket of the Soviet Union. It has enormous economic potential. And I think all the rest of the republics, the newly independent republics, understand that Ukraine is the big prize. If Putin can get it, they're in trouble, too. Now, effectively, he's in control of the Crimea, which was historically part of Russia, and it's possible that that Putin would settle for partition. It wouldn't just be Crimea, it would be other parts as well. I personally still think that's Plan B. I think Plan A is get a subservient government in Kiev over the whole of the Ukraine, and that's still what his objective is.
Some folks suggest that the Ukraine themselves is divided over this. You know, some, or the Russian speaking would lean towards Russia, where others are leaning towards the EU. What's your view? Is Ukraine divided?
It's very divided. There's no doubt about it. It's less an ethnic division, although there are a lot of ethnic Russians in Crimea, than a cultural, linguistic, religious division between the Russian-speaking Eastern Orthodox parts in the East and South and the Catholic Ukrainian-speaking parts more in the North and the West. And I think the division has been reflected in several Ukrainian elections. But the key thing, if the country is going to stay together, is that the people get to decide what direction they want to go in. And look, it may well be they decide that they do want to split the country up. That's the way to go. I think that would be a mistake for both halves. And as I say, I don't think that's where Putin wants to go at this point. I think he still thinks he can get the whole thing. But I tell you, the response by the United States, by Europe, to Putin moving Russian military forces into the Crimea has been pathetically weak. And in fact, it's a reflection of, in 5 years of the Obama administration, paying literally zero attention to developments in Eastern and Central Europe, other than giving up our missile defense bases in Poland and the Czech Republic back in 2009. So I think the Russians have seen weakness, not just in the past 30 days, but over a protracted period from the Obama presidency, and that's what they're taking advantage of.
What have we learned about the foreign policy of the current Obama administration in this particular crisis?
Well, I think it's yet another reflection that the national security issues just don't come up on the Obama administration's radar screen until you're in a crisis. And then, just like in your personal life, by the time you've got a crisis, it's usually too late to do many of the things that could have protected you or prevented the crisis from growing as bad as it now is. And I think the lesson to voters is what happens overseas affects us here at home and vice versa. We can't have a strong American economy unless we've got a strong American position in the world. And obviously we can't sustain a strong position overseas to affect things like Ukraine unless our economy strengthens. So I do think this is the close relationship between foreign and domestic policy really on display here yet again.
So the major impact to folks here in the Northern Plains would be the economy? I mean, how does it affect them?
Well, I think as Putin maneuvers to get his objectives in Ukraine, the implications are that you've got a weak, inattentive president who's not paying attention to what happens overseas, and therefore Russia's ability to use oil and natural gas as a weapon looks more and more attractive to them. And I think that has an effect on the economy of Europe, which is our biggest trading partner. If you look at the whole European Union by a long shot, that'll have an echo effect back here. That's part of the consequence of a globally connected economy. Our standard of living depends on what happens in the rest of the world, and it may seem a little remote to people in North Dakota and other places where they're concerned with their daily lives, but that's why we send the people to Washington and pay them the big bucks to look out for these problems before they arise and to deal with them effectively. And I'm afraid right now the U.S. is showing a weak, irresolute picture, and I think Putin and other adversaries around the world are going to draw the unfortunately appropriate conclusion.
About a half a minute left. What's next? How do you see this playing out?
Well, I still think that, as I said, Putin really thinks he can get a sympathetic government over the whole Ukraine. I think this referendum that we're going to see in Crimea on Sunday will vote overwhelmingly to be annexed by Russia. But that's just Putin's style of negotiation. He puts Russia's boot on Ukraine's neck and says, okay, let's negotiate. So I think we have the referendum, and then we'll see what happens. If he actually annexes Crimea, I'll be surprised.
Ambassador Bolton, thanks for the time today. Always appreciate your insight and analysis. Take care.
Well, thanks again for having me.
Ambassador John Bolton, former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., our guest on What's on Your Mind for the latest on that situation. Many of us are watching very closely. Back to your calls, 800-228-0550, next.
You talk, we listen. Call 800-228-0550 and tell us what's on your mind.
Farmers Union Oil Company, the Senex stores that have been serving the communities of Stanley, Tioga, and the surrounding area for 71 years have a brand new name. Pinnacle, serving excellence, and the Pinnacle Travel Plazas in Stanley and Tioga are the place to go if you're headed for the Bakken. Great food. That's right. Stop in and find home cooking, just like Mama used to make. All kinds of great daily lunch and dinner specials prepared by their executive chef. All kinds of great grab-and-go items, burgers, fries, onion rings, mozzarella sticks, chicken drummies, popcorn chicken, chicken strip baskets. The Piccadilly Pizza is fantastic. Personal pan size, medium and large, order in or take out. They have catering available, too. A great bakery department and a sit-down eating area. Come on in and enjoy good old-fashioned home cooking at the Pinnacle Travel Plazas, right off Highway 2 in Stanley or just north of Highway 2 on Highway 40 in Tioga. Pinnacle, serving excellence.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Anything goes. Just tell us what's in your mind today. If you're in Watford City, it might be that vote that said there are new schools on the way. That's right. Overwhelming vote. 90%. 90% in favor. I don't know if there's been a vote anywhere, ever, for a new school with 90% in favor. That's pretty incredible. 748 in favor, 83 opposed. So they actually only required 60% approval, so they overperformed there. It's pretty extraordinary when you get folks to agree there. Interestingly enough, the Fargo school vote last night went overwhelmingly against. It was a little more complicated than just you want a new school or not. In the case of Fargo, was we want the authority to cap the mill levy at a higher rate, but we're not going to do that yet. So it was just sort of the ability to do that. If you're in Noonan, you might be saying, what the heck is this abandoned convenience store doing with these oil filter socks that are being called radioactive? We're going to talk with Dave Glad of the North Dakota Health Department. He'll join us here at the next break, 10 before the hour, and talk a little bit about that particular situation. I don't think radioactive is the proper term, but I'll ask him that question. Next hour, Congressman Kevin Cramer and the Talk Radio Town Hall. One other thing on my mind before we get back to the calls. I'd love to hear from some moms in our audience. Just women in general, I guess. Is the term bossy negative? Something you'd like to see banned? You've seen this story, Todd. Sheryl Sandberg and Anna Marie Chavez. Sheryl Sandberg is a top executive at Facebook, and Ms. Chavez is the CEO of the Girl Scouts of the USA. Wrote an op-ed this weekend in the Wall Street Journal saying the word bossy ought to be banned, that somehow this has become negative, that, girls being... So she literally wants the word bossy banned.
Good luck on that.
Well, it's a whole new band bossy campaign. They have TV commercials, the whole thing. I need to understand, number one, is this a negative term peer-to-peer? I mean, one girl calling another girl bossy in school? Do the kids come home? Do your daughters come home and say, Mom, they call me bossy? I mean, I don't get that. I just totally disconnected from this. I did reach out to our 14-year-old and say, the girl, she's in, ninth grade. Is this kind of, she had no idea. Don't know why somebody'd want it banned. Don't really hear it. Dumb. So anyway, I'm out of the loop. I'd love to know. Tell us. How about you?
You haven't been in ninth grade for a while, have you?
No, I haven't. That's why I'm asking.
I just don't know that you're going to get that word banned, and if they're not going to come up with some synonym and just start using that. But
kind of bossy to want to ban a word.
That is kind of a negative word. I mean, it is kind of a mean word, especially the way it ends up getting used. But
oh, please.
That said, though, good luck at getting it banned.
I don't know, and I don't even necessarily think girls being bossy is all that bad if it means self-assertive and you know, confident and, you know, but I don't know.
But that's the positive side of the terminology, and you're right, and those are good traits, but there is kind of a positive connotation and a negative connotation.
Yeah.
But
banning the word.
I still hear worse words than that probably ought to get.
Yeah, there's
banned.
Another B word I was thinking of that would would be a little more troublesome.
The same word there.
Jay in Williston, you're up on What's on Your Mind, 800-228-0550. Tell us, Jay.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. First of all, three things. I'll try to make this really brief. One is, thanks for having Bolton on. Nice guest. I appreciate what he had to say. Second, I wanted to comment on school funding in the state. I think it's great Watford voted for the school. One of the problems Williston has is, we're limited as to how we can raise money for the school. Some years ago, we were able to pass a 1 cent sales tax to pay for a middle school, and it passed. It was fine. The state came in then subsequently and said, that's illegal. You have to use property tax. Well, Williston already has a very high property tax. And the other thing about Williston is we are a landlocked school district. There is an outside rural school district called the New School District, which has all the outlying properties for its tax base. So Williston, even when the city limits expand, the school district lines do not expand. So we're really restricted. If the state would allow us to pass a 1 cent sales measure, we could easily fund a new school, but we're not allowed to do that by the state. I'm not asking the state to pay for everything, but if they just allow us to fund it that way, we'd have much more success than what we're able to generate.
Yeah, it seems like the city should be able to decide what's best for them, right?
Well,
on how to fund it. That's reasonable.
I think so. But evidently there's either a constitutional issue or something that doesn't allow us to use a sales tax to fund the schools. And given Williston's economy, that would be a wonderful way to fund a new school. But given the fact that we're so restricted and we all, land-wise, we're really landlocked, and we already pay a very high property tax. So getting a school bond issue to pass is very difficult. If the state would just let us do the 1 cent sales thing, that would be great.
Yeah, you know, I would also say to you, Jay, that I believe one of the reasons that the vote in Watford City was for $27 million is that's the most they could ask for. Right, so they were sort of forced to say, okay, we're going to ask the citizens for $27 million. We're going to go find the rest of the $40 million for this project elsewhere. They had no choice but to do it that way, and because of different caps and limits and everything else. So there were some restraints there as well. Well, I think that was a fair ask of the citizens, and obviously they agreed. 90% saying, let's go. I think one issue we need to be cognizant of, and it's happening in Williston, is your community and others like yours in the oil patch, especially having to take on an inordinate amount of debt to, finance different projects that are happening. And in fact, Williston, I believe their bond rating was recently reduced because they had so much debt. Now, at a time when you have all this enormous development and prosperity going on, it seems odd that you're having to take on that much more debt. And again, all of this, right, I would call a catch-up problem, right? We need to catch up because if you can get, there's just so much that's needed so fast. And obviously with a session every other year for 40 days, there just isn't, more than anything, the calendar, just the timing. You really need a way to catch up on schools, on roads, on, medical facilities, on everything. It's a pleasant problem. It's challenging. It's difficult. But I do think there needs to be, we need to think a little bigger about how our current formulas and our current methods, if you can do this and you can't do that, in your case, Williston, hey, sorry, you can't do it with the sales tax. Got to rethink all of that to allow these communities to catch up, in my view.
We need to make everything possible, and we're just not able to do that. That's a real frustration. Finally, a third thing that I wanted to say, and one of the things that we don't really get to talk about much in Williston but is truly a problem, is it is, given the nature of this expansion and growth, it is very difficult to create community because you have the people who've been in the community for years, and I've been in Williston for 20 years. It's so hard to see so many changes to to have to stand in line literally for 20, 25 minutes at the post office. That's just the norm now. And plus the increased cost and the number of people that have had to move. So you got your long-term resident that can't afford it anymore and have to leave. That's hard. But the newcomers are struggle because most of them have families elsewhere. And they often have jobs where they work long hours and, you know, 2 weeks on, 1 week off if they're fortunate. And so it's very hard to integrate them into the community. And so there's just a sense of permanent transient that many of the people coming here don't ever intend to stay. And it's not because they're not good people. It's because their families are elsewhere and they can't afford to buy a home here. It's so expensive. So we got a struggle just to build community here. And it's kind of an intangible problem, but it's a real problem we face. So that's just a comment that one of the sort of the emotional burdens impacting us. I'm all for the boom. I'm all for fracking. Don't get me wrong, but it's not easy. It's very difficult.
I think housing catching up will be a big piece of that community, right? Because when you have options to bring your family there and be, you know, I was in Tioga last week on Thursday. We had a community roundtable and read a great story recounting the conversation in the Tioga Tribune yesterday. And it quoted Travis Kelly, who is a executive with Target Logistics. And he's a VP in North Dakota. And he initially came up here. He lived in Arizona. It was the product of a victim, I guess, of the economy down there. Lost his job and so needed to just take a job wherever. Got one with Target Logistics and ended up in North Dakota. His family back in Arizona. Him here for his early part of his career up here. He loved it. Likes it, brings the family up, and said his family is absolutely just thriving here now, right? And, you know, he's a better person, he's a better employee because his wife is here, his kids are here, and they're able to perform. Well, you know, that wasn't possible when he first came up, right? Because where are you going to live and what's it going to cost? Now it is possible. It's still, in my view, too expensive and not quote-unquote affordable, but that'll catch up too. So I think once you have the housing options, and then you bring the family here, and then you get the family in the schools, and you say, okay, do I join the Rotary Club? Do I join the PTA? What project can I help in with the community? In my view, once we have the housing stock, and again, it takes time. Can't just snap your fingers and have it happen. But I think that'll go a long ways towards building communities like you're talking about. Do you agree, Jay?
Yes, of course. I do think that there are policies that have been engaged in by the city and the county that have actually made it more difficult to build housing. But that's another conversation.
Yeah, it is. And I think also the financing issue is a big one, too. The same apartment complex in Williston is financed in a shorter term than it is in Fargo or Bismarck. Why? That makes no sense. So there's things to fix here, for sure. But I think housing is very integral to all of what we're trying to do in the way of making sure these communities have community.
Okay. You open that door, I'll just tell you this. There was a ban on allowing people to live in trailers within city limits.
Remember
and,
that? Yep.
That sounded like a good thing, and I publicly opposed it. The problem is that meant that contractors building homes, it made it more difficult for them to house their employees. It drove the cost of construction up.
I know it. I know. So, there are all kinds of ripple effects to those sort of knee-jerk decisions. Here's the fix. Time. Things take time. So, you know, that's why we have crew camps now, because, you know, we need a place for people to stay and work. And that includes construction crews building houses as well as working the fields. So you're exactly right, Jay. Appreciate the call. 29 in Bismarck now, 34 where Jay's calling from in Williston. Dickinson, 31. Minot, 25. Bowman, 31. Jamestown, 23. Fargo, 16. Grand Forks, 12. A little cool in that corner. More coming up, folks.
A program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
NASA Consulting Service of Tioga is the most recognized and respected on-site geologic service company in the Williston Basin and beyond. Here's Kathy Nesset on the Booming Bakken. Is it the North Dakota miracle, Kathy?
I do think it's a miracle, and I think we are truly blessed to be part of it.
Talk about the newest North Dakotan's role in the Booming Bakken.
the base of this is, you know, the hometown North Dakota guy and gal. But I have such respect for the newcomers to the area. I really feel that, you know, as a community, in our church communities, in our schools, in our, you know, business communities, I really see that North Dakota has a welcome, open arm to our out-of-state people who are here. And I admire those who have the wherewithal, and to be quite honest with you, the guts to pick up and move to North Dakota and try to make a living for their families.
To find out more about Nesset Consulting Service, go to NessetConsulting.com.
North Dakota and Minnesota's leading steel building contractor is Evercourt Building Systems. Jesse Everett, the owner, is on the phone with us. Jesse, I need a shop, an office, and a warehouse all in one. Can you take care of me?
Absolutely.
How long does the design process take?
3 weeks, and you've got your blueprints.
How long is delivery going to take?
We guarantee delivery in 4 weeks.
And when am I moving in?
We're going to have that building built in 90 days.
Tell me about the quality. What goes into an Evercourt building?
All North American-made steel. We tend to put big foundations under them that are engineered by local engineers that understand the conditions, and we tend to overdo it.
How do you price this so I get the best bang for my buck, Jesse?
We use 39 plants across the U.S. That's factory direct, which means you get the best price.
Jesse, you sold me. How do I reach you to talk about my next building project?
Just call me, 612-282-9922.
Or online at evercourtbuildingsystems.com. Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
On your mind with Todd Mitchell. I'm Scott Hillen. So I mentioned earlier in the program, we chatted a little bit about this on Monday as well. Bismarck Tribune headline today, radioactive dump site found. Talking about a story where some radioactive oil filter socks piled up in an abandoned building in Noonan, North Dakota. And joining us to talk a little bit about this is Dave Glatt from the State Health Department in North Dakota. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning.
First of all, will you explain what these oil filter socks are, used for? What's in them? This is obviously a process in oil development. I've heard them described as being part of saltwater disposal as well. Just give us the oil field 101 and what these are.
Sure, yeah, and that's correct. You know,
the salt water, flowback water, those type of things that come from the oil patch have a lot of particulate matter in it, a lot of sediment. And before they can discharge that down into a deep formation to where the water originally came from, they need to filter out all that sediment. Otherwise, it plugs up the formation, and that sediment ends up on these filter socks.
And so who normally uses these filter socks? Is it the folks that are disposing of the salt water then?
Yep, primarily. But there's a lot of different uses for the filter socks throughout the industry, but primarily we're seeing them from the disposal operations.
Got it. And is the term radioactive? It seems to me that, when I think radioactive, I think Chernobyl, right? I mean, put this into context for me of the danger to citizens from these particular filter socks that have been discovered in Watford City previously and now Noonan.
Yeah, it's basically there's naturally occurring radioactive material in the environment as we sit here today. You and I are being exposed to certain levels of radiation, and that's the background radiation. When they start putting this water, that naturally occurring radioactive material, through a filter sock, it concentrates that radiation, and the levels become a little bit higher than background. Background in North Dakota, we're kind of looking at that 5 picocuries area per gram. And the filter socks, for the most part, are less than 50 picocuries per gram, a very low-level radiation. You could stand a few feet away from those and not have any effect whatsoever.
All right, so where does it become dangerous?
Well, there is the potential that, if you're rolling around in them or handling them for long periods of time, that could be a problem. And that's why we want them handled appropriately and disposed of appropriately.
Got it. Ron Ness was with us on Monday. He had a call about the situation in Watford City, and he said this is really a case of the state health department just needing to put out the regulations and set the standards to make sure these are disposed of correctly. Is that something that there's a process underway for right now?
Yes, and we've been looking at that for the last few months. Basically, we contracted with the Argonne National Laboratory to take a look at what is the risk associated with the generation, transportation, disposal, storage of this material, and then also taking a look at are the regulations appropriate to track basically the cradle to grave, generation to disposal. And we're looking at fast-tracking the tracking of the regulations. They should be out for public comment sometime in June. And then the report from the Argonne National Laboratory that looks at the science behind the risk associated with this material will be available probably towards the end of the summer.
So until that fix comes, where here's the process, here's what we do, where do folks dispose of them properly?
Well, the vast majority, they're looking at over 20 tons per day are being generated. The vast majority of the waste is being handled appropriately. The big industries, they track it from cradle to grave. They want it handled right, and that's being done right. There's a small percentage of fringe operations that are trying to cut corners, and they are disposing of those inappropriately, and that's unacceptable. And we are going to be doing what we can to address those now. And then also with the new regulations, making it more difficult for them to dump them in a building or dispose of them illegally.
Got it. So essentially, like in anything, you got a few bad actors here, and that's what happened in Watford City, and that's what's happened in Noonan. And there is no real serious threat to any of those individuals that have been around that particular waste. You just need a better process, given the vast amount of this, to handle the bad actors when they do come about, it sounds like.
Yeah, and we never want people to violate the law, and we want them to do it right. And quite frankly, that's where regulation comes from. If everybody did this correctly, we wouldn't need any regulation. But when we get a few bad actors, you basically are regulating for those few bad actors. And that's where we're heading.
Got it. So, in other words, you're doing what you're doing right now in the new way of new regulations just to take care of these isolated incidents where you've got some folks that have decided to go rogue on you here.
Yeah, and they do look bad, and it is a concern to us. When you get pictures of filter socks on flatbeds or filter socks in a garage up in Noonan, this is not a good deal, and we want to do everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen in the future.
Timeline on the new regulations would be what then, Dave?
We're hopeful to have them out for public comment in the June timeframe. We're going to be sitting down with people who currently regulate cradle to grave to see what is the best process that we can get out there to provide assurances that it is being handled appropriately. Once we get that information, we'll develop the rules and put them out for public comment. So around June.
Appreciate you. Got it. Appreciate you joining us today on short notice to talk about this story. Thanks.
You bet. Thank you.
Dave Glatt, Environmental Health Section Chief, North Dakota Department of Health. Context is very important, folks. Perspective, very important in all this. And I think you just got it. More coming up.
Serving the Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
If you've had enough for winter, it's time to head for Walker, Minnesota, Leech Lake, and one of Minnesota's premier resorts, Chase on the Lake. Did you know they have a stunning spa resort within a resort there? It's the Copper Dora Veda Spa. And what a way to thaw out after all this brutal cold. A spa treatment, body treatments, skin therapy, all kinds of great spa packages, massages, nail care. They do it all. And get a load of this deal. Now through the end of March, stay any Sunday through Thursday, two nights at the Chase, and your choice of two spa treatments at the award-winning Copper Dora Veda Spa or a four-hour snowmobile rental, all for only $199. Less than $100 a night. But you need to call to book your reservations right now. 888-CHASE-06. Hurry while they last. Call right now to reserve yours. 888-CHASE-06. 888-CHASE-06 at Chase on the Lake, Leech Lake, Walker, Minnesota. And tell them Scott sent you.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
It's time to get your green on with the great green sale from Freeze Dry Guy. Now through St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, cases of delicious freeze-dried vegetables, green beans, and green peas are now on sale at veteran-owned freezedryguy.com. You don't need to be Irish to feel like you have pots of gold with a healthy supply of these delicious, nutritious green vegetables. They're perfect for your emergency preparedness needs or outdoor activities from camping to RV travel. Green beans and green peas, easy to prepare, easy to enjoy, and now easier than ever to buy. How about some green backs in your wallet or purse just for ordering? Act now, and Freeze Dry Guy will give you $25 in survival bucks for every case you purchase by St. Paddy's Day. So get your green on now, veggie lovers. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.